of the environment and politics and the watchdog for all the conservative media. And very pleased to welcome to the Green Front, Shauna Thiel. I've read your pieces quite extensively, and Shauna is a senior researcher of energy and environment at Media Matters. So thanks for joining us. And you once again did a very comprehensive look at how things went in 2012, where it seemed to those of us who pay close attention that things were better. We heard climate change mentioned and even a few dots connected, but it looks from your research that it really wasn't all that much better than the pretty weak showing we've seen over the last few years.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for all the compliments on our research. We definitely did see an increase in the nightly news coverage, so that might have been where you saw people starting to connect the dots with the warmest year on record and with all the extreme events that happened. We did see the nightly news connect those dots more than they did in 2010 or 2011, although still less than they did in 2009 when there was a climate change bill in Congress. And but we saw that on the Sunday shows, which are sort of reflect what the Beltway thinks, what the DC elite thinks that climate change coverage continued to decline. On Meet the Press, which is the most prominent Sunday show, there was only one mention of climate change in the entire year. It was 1 6-second mention. So we definitely see that the Beltway continues to dismiss climate change and to ignore it over other issues such as deficit reduction.
And this is a year where, of course, we saw record-breaking heat, historic drought that continues in parts of the Midwest, massive wildfires in the West, Hurricane Sandy, of course, as the Arctic sea ice continues to melt at record paces, and the Greenland ice sheet also seeing the greatest melt in recorded history. This is pretty astonishing, isn't it? And really shameful.
I think it is pretty shameful that we do see that even when you have all these events that are happening, that the media still won't talk about climate change, and when they do talk about climate change, they'll often host Republicans who will, for instance, call global warming junk science in the face of all this evidence that we see accumulating. You had Rick Santorum going on ABC's This Week and calling global warming junk science, and the rest of the panel just sits there quiet. So we think that there's a lot of improvement that can be done on media coverage, and one of the things that we consistently ask for media to do is to turn to experts, and yet in 4 years, the Sunday shows have not quoted a single scientist on climate change.
Shauna, you mentioned ABC's This Week, and Rick Santorum, you know, babbling his nonsense about climate change allegedly being a hoax. Of course, ABC's This Week has as one of their prominent commentators George Will, who frequently uses his position on that show as a venue for climate change denial. A few months back, he was saying that the intense heat we saw was just summer in action and had nothing to do with global warming. Do you think it's a form of journalistic malpractice to have George Will on the air every single week and using that show, as he so frequently does, as a form to peddle climate nonsense? He also uses the Washington Post as a form, but especially on ABC's This Week. Is it just sort of doing a disservice to the viewers to have him there?
Well, I do think that George Will is very misinformed on climate change, and he's actually had to take back some of his previous posts on the Washington Post, or other people have asked him to clarify misstatements in his columns. So I think that when you continue to host someone and portray them as the intellectual conservative, and yet he won't accept accepted science, then you're continuing this trend of politicizing science. The conservative viewers of that show will identify with the conservative panelist, and the panelist is telling them that not only should they not support any kind of policy to address global warming, that they actually shouldn't accept global warming science. And yeah, we did see George Will say that this summer was simply summer, and try to equate that to when global warming activists talk about, Hurricane Sandy, Arctic ice. But we see that, there are events that are there are trends that are happening. So we see that heat records are broken year after year, and there are very few cold records happening. And so then you'll see that the people that are denying climate change will cherry pick those cold records and then attack activists anytime they try to point out that it's the 2012 was the hottest year on record, that we had the hottest decade on record globally. So I think that George Will is definitely a source of misinformation, and this week should consider whether he should be in a part of their panel.
What about when journalists do things like, you know, David Gregory, I believe it was interviewing Romney during the debates and as the election season was heating up, and he made that snarky comment, repeated the same one that he'd made during his acceptance speech at the convention when there was a hurricane that delayed the start of the convention by a day. And he heard Romney once again make this seemingly out of left field comment about, you know, Obama, mocking Obama for caring about the rising of the seas and climate change. Isn't that also a sin of omission when he does not comment on that and point out the irony of Romney making that statement? And he did not respond at all, to my recollection. And then, of course, there's the famous Candy Crowley quip after she neglected to ask a question about climate change after hundreds of thousands of signatures came in demanding that it be discussed. You know, she said she didn't get to it. Isn't that pretty abysmal as well, especially during this past year of weather, extreme biblical weather events?
Yeah. I think one of the major omissions that we saw in 2012 was the lack of any question even related to climate change during any of the debates. And also, when Romney was mocking the rising seas, you're right, the Hurricane Sandy showed us why Barack Obama had said that he wanted to address the slow the rising of the seas, because we saw that the higher seas led to more storm surge when Sandy hit. And so you'll have this huge effect with the subway system completely flooded in ways that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have climate change causing rising sea levels. So I think that definitely hosts should more often call out their guests on any kind of misstatements or callous remarks in this case that they're making.
Shauna, Betsy just mentioned CNN. What exactly has happened to CNN? I mean, first you had the scenario, the incident where I believe it was Piers Morgan brought on Bill Nye, and he brought on the famous, infamous denialist Mark Morano to quote unquote debate him. And then a couple of weeks ago, I believe, or last week actually, there was a special on climate change that did not mention the burning of fossil fuels in any capacity. And you know, for an outsider to watch and to remember that, you know, CNN was founded by Ted Turner and his environmental concerns, you watch CNN right now and you say to yourself, why have they fallen so far so fast? I mean, is this really CNN anymore?
Yeah, I think that definitely Ted Turner has even called out CNN for, in recent years, lacking substance. He said that if he were running things, the CNN would be more focused on substantive issues, whereas a lot of times they'll be doing this more tabloid-style reporting as of late. But I think that CNN has somehow fallen into this strange trap that Republicans have set, where we'll say that global warming or climate change is real, but we won't say what 98% of scientists say, which is that carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases are what's causing the climate change. So you have Bill Nye and Mark Morano on to debate it, and that's considered a legitimate debate now, whether what is causing the climate change. And then you'll have this special ignoring what's causing the climate change entirely, and having Chad Myers is their meteorologist who recently accepted climate change based on the overwhelming evidence. But he tends to say things like, I don't really care what's causing it. But a lot of people do care what's causing it, because that means what should we do to address it? And it means whether we should address our rising greenhouse gas levels.
And you mentioned CNN. Peter Dykstra was laid off, I think, about 15 years ago, and he was covering the environmental beat, and he was one of the ones who was very outspoken in criticizing CNN for that show that did not mention the cause of climate change, and that reminds me of the New York Times announcing last week that they were going to be shutting down their environmental desk. What do you make of that, Shauna?
Well, we looked into this, and I'm not sure whether people are unsure whether it'll be a negative effect on New York Times coverage, as they're still keeping the journalists, and it does seem that those journalists will continue to be environmental reporters. So then it seems to be more of a technical change that those environmental reporters will simply be moved around and be reporting to different editors rather than a specific environmental editor. So it's unclear, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it to see whether New York Times' environmental coverage degrades or whether they make further announcements that shift this from a more technical change to actually laying off some of these really important reporters. For instance, Justin Gillis, I think is how you say it, is won awards for his amazing climate change reporting, and he is always, he doesn't fall into the trap of false balance, and he'll often expose denialists' arguments for what they are and speaking to the best experts. So it's definitely important that you have reporters specializing on these issues to develop an expertise. We saw that when PBS had a non-specialist try to do a segment on global warming, he ended up interviewing Anthony Watts, who, if you specialize in the beat, has been repeatedly called out for misinformation, and also is not in any way a scientist. So, but if you're not specialized in the beat, you might fall into some of his arguments and not understand that they've been repeatedly debunked. So I think that it's very important that you have environmental reporters, and I hope that the New York Times' change won't in any way affect the quality that their environmental reporters, the work that they've produced.
So in your estimation, who does, in terms of both network and in terms of cable news, and even in terms of newspapers, the best environmental and climate coverage out there today? Who should be considered the gold standard of coverage?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a particular outlet, but I would say that AP's Seth Borenstein is an amazing climate change reporter, and also New York Times' Justin Gillis has done a lot of work that has really made climate change front page news, you know, really interesting, compelling stories. So I think that those two reporters are who stands out in my mind for doing really great work.
Shauna, we're just about out of time, but I wondered, looking ahead, if you think we can expect, you know, better coverage this year. It seemed to us, many of us, that it was a tipping point year, and yet there seems to be kind of a lapse in the momentum that one would expect, you know, given, again, just hit after hit after hit of, you know, devastating, damaging, deadly weather events in this country.
Yeah, I think that in some ways 2013 is poised to be a better year for climate change coverage, in part because of the amount of criticism that's leveled against the media. They may start to take this into account and react to it, and we've definitely seen a lot of coverage of the warmest year on record announcement for the U.S. and connecting that to climate change and also to all the extreme events that happened. So I think 2013, especially since it's no longer an election year where the politicians are ignoring climate change, perhaps it can be a time that the media can sort of make up for what they did in 2012 and in 2011 and in 2010. So we'll see. I'm optimistic, but it's definitely also true that there's a lot of political issues on the books that don't have to do with climate change. Climate change hasn't been prioritized over, for instance, gun control and immigration in the Obama administration. So we'll see whether the coverage will kowtow to the priorities that politicians are setting, or whether they'll talk about issues that experts are telling us are also very pressing.
DR, last question?
Not so much a last question, but I just wanted to tell Shauna to keep up the great work, and also the same goes for Media Matters as well. You've become an indispensable resource for Betsy and for myself as well.
Well, thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
I concur. We love what you are doing, and you really quantify, put in, you know, numbers what those of us who are paying attention since, and we even DR, who captures just about every climate story on the web, and that's not just print but audio and video clips overnight for us, this small climate change email exchange group. You know, we can't be everywhere either. We can't catch it all, so we always turn to you for that. And really disappointing to learn that it was not much better in 2012, but really glad that we are hearing more about this. I think it was Alex Wagner who on MSNBC who just recently was talking about when will the media start covering this. And that's as someone who's watched this area closely in terms of media focus for 15 years of green issues, I'm starting to hear that mentioned more and more, which makes me a little bit hopeful that we'll see better coverage, and not just occasionally and not just in the wake of superstorms.
Yes, we hope so too. And viewers can go to mediamatters.org and to find all the stories. We definitely keep an eye out on everything, and I'll come back to you if the New York Times coverage starts to decline or get worse.
Thanks so much, Shauna Thiel. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be speaking with a fellow Progressive Radio Network host. Can't wait to talk to Karen Hartglass about food and the impact on our environment right after these messages.